we go. Real Kipper and Bourne show as the Stanley Cup final continues with the Edmonton Oilers. Connor McDavid with an epic win last night. Oilers are only the fourth team in history to force a game six in a Stanley Cup final after facing a 3-0 deficit. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz. So you'd think we'd come out full barrel talking Stanley Cup final.
Would love to.
But there's a lot of stuff going on around the National Hockey League.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the National Hockey League in itself is to blame for all of this, and we'll get into that in a minute. But
shame.
The latest, shame. Obviously coming off of today, and this is for our Sportsnet 960 friends in Calgary, is Markstrom is no longer a Calgary Flame.
He gone.
He's gone. New Jersey. Just a quick note, we're also on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 590 in The Fan here, and always, as always, on 360 and Sportsnet Plus. And this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. All right, that's out of the way.
Kevin Ball and a 2025 first, top 10 protected. Is that deal? Yes.
Also, moments ago, word coming out, I think Elliot Friedman first put a note out saying that Pierre-Luc Dubois may be on the move, LA Kings. I also got word that it's all but done to the Washington Capitals, and Darcy Kemper, who the LA Kings were looking for a goalie,
mm-hmm.
apparently have got their goalie now.
Darcy Kemper going to LA. He what is his deal? He's got 2 years left. One sec, I'm going to find that for you.
At six.
Something like that. Here's Washington. We'll find that out exactly. But yeah, so LA gets rid of the PLD contract scot-free. No retention whatsoever. Washington is buying low on a big young center who can be great. If anyone can get him motivated, can get him to be his best, there are tools there.
Is that all it is? Is a motivation for him, or is it
5-2-5, 3 years for Kemper?
A focus? Is it just not the right chemistry? We've seen him really good at times, and then to your point, almost as if he's disinterested. But I will remind people, and a lot of people, and I don't know where you stand. Are you shocked that LA doesn't have to retain any of his salary?
I am a little bit shocked.
And that's over $8 million, is it not?
I think it's exactly $8 million. Just finding that out. But yeah, Kemper has three more years at 5-2-5. So he's 34 years old, which is not overly youthful. And yeah, the PLD contract, I don't know, I can't find that. Maybe Sammy can find it in a sec here. Oh, never mind, I found it. Pierre-Luc Dubois is 8.5.
Yes,
over for 7 years, yeah.
For seven more years.
Yeah.
But I will remind people that he's only 26 years old.
Yeah.
That is incredibly young.
Is there any history, though, of guys whose enigmatic is him suddenly becoming consistent?
Is there more growth as maturity continues to maybe develop for him?
Yeah. The upside is there for sure, but
I got to say, I mean, that is a unbelievable trade by the LA Kings at first blush.
Yeah, you think, eh?
What did Pierre-Luc Dubois have last year?
Oh, I don't know.
30 points? Pretty. 40 points?
Yeah.
That wasn't pretty.
And, you know, he's playing on the fourth line, making $8.5 million. They didn't have to retain anything, and they got a decent goalie in return.
This time last year, he had 15 teams going after him, Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Yeah.
15.
And right, LA and so is it just a one bad year blip, and he's going to be back to being good? Maybe. Kemper was an 890 last year. I mean, he was a 909 the year before.
Just to correct what I said, in 43 games, he had 27 points, 11 goals, minus 9. Oh, sorry, that's a lie. That's a lie to your face. I lied again. I am a big, fat liar. He had 40 points.
40 points.
In 82 games. All minus right. 9 was still the same number.
Yeah. All right, so fascinating trade. We should do last night. No? You want to do Markstrom?
No, we got to talk about the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, maybe. Let's...
We got tons of time after we get to...
We're blaming the NHL for making
Pierre-Luc
this a
Dubois
thing.
We do Pierre-Luc Dubois in L.A., and we don't do Calgary.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
We don't
you're right.
That's a big trade.
Okay.
We got Calgary fans right now watching and listening.
Okay.
Flames are retaining a third of his value, right? So it's a $6 million contract. So they're going to eat $2 million a year, roughly, if I'm not mistaken.
That's a pretty good deal for a goalie of his magnitude to come in and be a little over, what, $4 million?
What a world for the New Jersey Devils here, right? Like, yeah, $4 million guy who was in the Vezina conversation last year.
And so you get him for, what was it? You get him for four. And you go
4.125.
You give up a first-round pick that's top 10 protected, and Kevin Ball, who, you know, has played a little bit in the league. He's a good player.
He's a good defensive defenseman.
Yeah, 148 games played, 25 points in his career. He's a, you know, not the most thrilling guy.
Big shot suppression guy.
And now, if you look at the Devils, like we talked about before, our boy Sheldon Keefe is walking into what could be one of the best situations in the league.
He really is.
He could have used a goalie.
He could have used Markstrom this year, for sure, on the Leafs, no question. But I think you got to love that for the Devils.
Yeah. Love also that we get to now talk about the Stanley Cup Final.
With Jason Greger, host of the Jason Greger Show on Sportsnet 1440 in Edmonton. What kind of league is this that we get breaking news on some big names during a Stanley Cup Final? What is the league doing to us?
Well, it's an off day, right? So I think that's the rule that they allow. But you know what? I think a few days ago, the NHL was hoping for some news because some people thought maybe the series was going to be over quickly. That's obviously not being the case, and now it's turned into one of the more intriguing Cup Finals. I think most people thought heading into Edmonton when the series began, that the series would be 3-2. I just don't think people thought it would go in the direction of the Panthers winning three in a row, and now the Oilers winning two in a row, and at one point outscoring the Panthers, like, what was it, 12-1 over a stretch of seven periods?
Mm-hmm. Greger, that might have been the best hockey game I've seen a hockey player play last night, like in my life. Connor McDavid, it was an absolute, the pace of the game followed him. Everyone watched one person play hockey last night. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Yeah, a few times from 97. You get spoiled in a way when you watch him. And I'm a season ticket holder. And so I make sure that I sit down in my seats at least six or seven times a year just to remind myself of how hard the game is. Because from up top in the press box, a lot of times it kind of looks easy. Like, why didn't guy make that pass? It looks pretty slow from up here, but it's not. And McDavid is, he's such a different beast. Like, Wayne Gretzky is, you know, was the most productive player ever. He thought the game and saw it very different than everybody else. But he didn't necessarily bring you out of your seat as often as McDavid does. Like, McDavid does things that make you go, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whereas Gretzky would just, you know, he would beat you with his brain. And there's nothing wrong. They're just two different players in how they attack, right? Like, I think McDavid's probably closer maybe to Lemieux, because Lemieux is a guy who could undress players, right? Like, you think of that 91 goal against Minnesota. It's kind of like the goal last night. Now, I know McDavid didn't score it, but if you guys freeze frame that power play when McDavid is right beside the Sportsnet logo on the ice on the broadcast, there's four Panthers around him. It looks like a nothing play. And 3 seconds later, he's passed all of them, and Corey Perry has a chip shot to score the goal. Like, he's done that a few times, the Rangers in the regular season a few years ago where he undressed four guys.
Just
but
not in the Cup Final so against often. The best team in hockey, or presumed best team in hockey.
Yeah. And the other thing is, he did that a minute 52 into his shift.
Are you serious?
Yes. I think that's what people forget, is McDavid, as great as he is as a player, guys, I think he doesn't get enough credit in how well-conditioned he is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's a specimen.
I did notice that last night at the end of a couple of rushes. He still has a lot in the tank, but I didn't know it was that late into a shift.
So,
and it actually, to be honest, it was a 2 minute and 22 second shift, but there was a TV timeout when the power play started. So I don't count that.
And what he's had, you know, from the moment that we first saw him at an NHL level that none of the greats in the past have ever had, is this ability for a third or fourth gear. So if you ask me what's happened in this series, it goes back to how great of a skater Connor McDavid is, above and beyond everyone else. If you ask me, there's a lot of guys starting to run out of gas in this series.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems now that he's got that third gear. Everybody else is trending the other way. He's actually separating himself from everybody else because of his skating. And I include Leon Draisaitl. To me, he still looks like he may be tiring a little bit. Barkov, I don't know what's happening physically with Bobrovsky, but there's a few guys now starting to hit a bit of a wall. Connor's going the other way.
To the moon.
Yeah, that's not really a surprise to me. Like, you know, he's taken some three-minute shifts at times late in games when they're trailing by a goal, and he's always able to get more in the tank. Now, Draisaitl, he's got an injury. It's the playoffs, so, you know, you'd have a better chance finding the caramel secret than what his injury is. But you're right, he hasn't looked as quick. The other thing is, though, honestly, guys, when the series began, I did a look. You go to the NHL website on an edge. The Oilers are the second fastest team in the NHL with Colorado. Florida was like 20th. Edmonton with McLeod and Connor Brown and Nurse and Fogle. They got Zach Hunt. Like, they got a lot of guys that can skate. And Edmonton's speed, I thought, has been a factor in most of the games. Even when they were losing games early, they were the quicker team. And, you know, Nick, you played in the Stanley Cup final. You know that it becomes a war of attrition a little bit, right? And when Florida's not the quickest team, although I will say this about Florida. I thought the last 20 minutes was the best they've played since early in game 3, and maybe the best since game 2 collectively. And Matthew Tkachuk showed up. Once he scored, did you see what a different player he was? So that to me is a real storyline heading into game 6, is that Tkachuk, who's supposed to be the engine that drives them and was pretty much in neutral up until that goal, that could be a big boost for them.
You know, everyone's talking or was talking about that game 5. Like, if Edmonton could just get game 5, and get it back to Edmonton for game 6, you know, here comes game 7. Do you feel now like there's actually a bit of pressure here? And now it's back to Edmonton, your crowd. Everyone thinks Edmonton's finally going to win hockey.
You're supposed to win game 6.
You're supposed to win game 6 now, and this is the first time it's back on them.
Yeah, I think there's probably some truth to that. You know, a lot of people thought Florida was going to win game 5, and they didn't. Now, you know, Oilers fans are going to go back to 2006 when they went into Carolina and won game 5 and then came back and played probably their best game ever, the playoffs in 06, and they absolutely spanked Carolina in game 6, but then they couldn't carry it over to game 7. Edmonton on home ice has been a really good team all year long, and we've seen that. I do think there's maybe a little bit more pressure. As I mentioned, I thought Florida played better as that game 5 went along. They looked a little bit passive early. Like, the Oilers, back-to-back games, guys, when you start with a shorthanded goal, like, are you kidding me? That's a huge benefit. So, you know, I think there's a little bit more pressure on Edmonton, but I'm not sure that they really feel it, because they've been playing must-win games now for 6 days. Right now, there's only 2 games in that span, but they've lived with the we have to win or we're out, so I don't know if it changes a whole bunch for them.
Well, you mentioned it, the back-to-back shorthanded goals and what Connor Brown is all of a sudden done. I don't. Did he have 5 goals during the regular season?
4.
Like 4. And now the importance of Connor Brown, and again, to that energy, the skating, the threat. Not only can Florida now not score a power play goal, they got to think about defending their power play.
Yeah. How about the fact that the Edmonton Oilers penalty kill is a net 106% now, because they've scored 2 shorties. Wow. And they've only allowed 1 power play goal in the final. Like, when you're +1 on the penalty kill in a series, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, Connor Brown is, you know, he had his ACL surgery in October of 2022. And I talked to him after game 4, and he really kind of opened up for the first time about just how much longer it took him to get back to where he needed to be. He said he just didn't have any pop. He couldn't come out of turns, you know, he couldn't cross over. He didn't feel it. And he didn't really know until he got it back how much of a difference it was. And he really credited their strength and conditioning coaches, Drummond and Jackson, for really helping him along. And he felt like in the last 4 months, he's, you know, kind of started to feel a little bit better. But even then, he said it wasn't really until April that he thought that he had his pop back. And he didn't play in the first round, right? He was a healthy scratch. And since he came in game 2 against Vancouver, he's been lights out for them on the penalty kill and even 5-on-5. That line, think about it, guys. You got McDavid and Draisaitl, who's starting the last 2 games. And, Nick, you know how important, and so do you, Justin. You know how important it is for the starting lineup, right? And you've got Henrik, Janmark, and Brown back-to-back games where they're setting the tone on the first shift.
Yeah. No, I mean, Brown looks legitimately like fast almost, which he hasn't all year, which is really surprising and made a big difference. You know, when you look at the series going forward here, what do you think Knobloch does with his lineup? Does it change everything? Like, how do you feel about how he's coached this series and what he'll do going forward?
And Chris Knobloch, for a rookie head coach, I think you really have to take a step back and be impressed with almost every decision he's made. From day one, he brings Mark Stewart, who's never ran a penalty kill. Here you go, Mark. You're going to oversee it. And look how good their penalty kill is being now, guys. Like, it's a true weapon. Leon Draisaitl says, I don't see many penalty kills that are able to set the pace for the power play, and that's what ours does. Then he switched, guys. He has shown no fear. You win a game, next game, you know what? I think we need this. So he'll switch his guys. Now, he's not making massive switches, but there's only 11 skaters on Edmonton that have played in every game. That includes their goaltending. So 11 out of 23 guys, that's not normal. He switches guys out. He's not afraid. Ryan McLeod, Warren Fogle, Vincent Desharnais, Cody Ceci, like guys who played a lot of games all year long. The only change I could see them maybe doing in 6 and 7 is Derek Ryan. And you could bring in Sam Carrick maybe, or if Evander Kane, that's a big if. But if Evander Kane is going to be able to show the training staff in some off-ice tests that he's got some power and he's got the ability, then I think you could play him. Because, you know, if Kane's close to healthy, he's a better player than Derek Ryan. So that's the one change. And if I played him, guys, I would start him on the fourth line with McLeod and Perry, which is fine because you need depth to go. So that's really the only lineup change. I don't think they're going to bring out CeCe or Broberg at this point for Vincent Desharnais, unless there's an injury that I'm unaware of. But, you know, you look at the minutes played of those guys on the back end, I think they're going to stick with that. And really, why not? Like, they've come back. They're playing well. There's even though he switched it before when they've won, I'll be surprised if he does it unless Kane gets the green light to go.
We're talking to the host of the Jason Gregor Show on Sports 1440 in Edmonton. Jason, just in terms of the numbers from Stuart Skinner between game 1 and 3, and then the numbers between 4 and 7 to close out playoff series, are we talking about the same goalie? What's the difference for you?
Well, Nick, you're reading my mind. I actually have an article coming up that I wrote that should be out here in about 45 minutes that really outlines Stuart Skinner, and he's really inexperienced, guys. Like, there's only two players on the Oilers that have played fewer games than him in Broberg and Holloway. Like, he's a young guy in a high-pressure position, and he has, you know, he learned last year in the playoffs. He got pulled 3 of the final 4 games in the second round against Vegas, right? Like, you get pulled, you come back. You get pulled, you come back. Like, it's hard to do. And he's persevered this year. If he has a bad game, some guys like to, you know, they don't want to admit if they had a bad game or that they hide away in the back corner. That's not Skinner. He'll come out and he'll just openly talk about it. Like, hey guys, the other guys were good. I wasn't good enough tonight. I got to be better. When he sat 2 games against Vancouver, he came back and he just said, you know what? It's hard, but I just wanted to be the best teammate I could. It allowed me to work on my mental strength. I think that's a factor of mine. And since then, he's been really good. Even in the first 3 games, the only blunder he made was outside the crease on the second goal behind the net, right? That, mm-hmm. They lost by 1, and that really gave Florida momentum in game 3. And, you know, afterwards, I remember he was asked about, geez, how's this moment? You're down 3. And he's like, you know what? I'm grateful that I get to be in these opportunities and learn from it. And for most guys, you'd probably be like, meh. But that's how Skinner is. He's very big on mental toughness, and man, he's come back. If you look at his numbers in games 5, 6, and 7 of the playoffs, he's 6-0 with a .928 save percentage and a .161 goals against average. So when the pressure's on, he's found a way to really elevate his game in every round.
So I wrote an article yesterday just on all the reasons things are tipping in Edmonton's favor. Is there anything that makes you nervous about Florida? Anything that makes you look at them and go, okay, I expect a pushback here? Because Edmonton can go on these streaks, man, and they've done it numerous times this season where it just feels like nothing can stop them once they're playing their best. Is there something on Florida's side that makes you think they could stop it?
Well, I really thought the last, you know, half of that, like once Tkachuk scored.
Yeah.
You know, and there's again, like Holloway, you got to get the puck out. He doesn't get it out, and Tkachuk takes advantage. Draisaitl, you can't leave a guy behind you, and, you know, Tkachuk scores. And because it got Tkachuk into the series, guys, because up until that point, the most noticeable he'd been was giving McDavid a few rabbit punches in a blowout game. really hadn't noticed him. And he was their best player after that by a large margin. And he's got the ability to bring guys into the fight a little bit more. His line, up until last night, had been outscored 5-0, 5-on-5 in the series. Right? Like, they're not going to win that way long term. So if that line wakes up, that's a big issue, I think, for Edmonton. It's a big challenge. Doesn't mean they can't win, but that would be number one. And I look at, you know, we've seen a lot of teams, you come back, but man, you got to exert a lot of energy. And I would think Edmonton wins game six, but that game seven in Florida, they have a really good home record all year. They're good in the playoffs. Like, you know, you could do it. It's never been done before. So I guess, you know, at some point we've seen 16 seeds beat number one seeds in NCAA. So right. Anything's possible. But the odds and the fact that Tkachuk has woken up would probably be the two things that make you say, Edmonton, you're going to have to be on your game.
Jason, we, like many, had the discussion about Conn Smythe and where Connor McDavid would be. Yesterday I said, as great as he's been, including breaking Wayne Gretzky's record, he can't give him that trophy if they lose in five games. He scores 4 points in five games. We're now game six, and I'm like, yeah, he could win it losing game six. He'll certainly win it, I think, in losing game seven, and we know he's going to win it if they can close this thing out. But what is his playoff run done in your mind, not only to solidify him as one of the greatest hockey players of all time, but, you know, comparable to any great athlete out there? Like, what, in your opinion, has he done in the last month and a half?
Well, I think he's put to bed any debate on who the best player in the NHL is, right? And even though I don't think it was one, there was still like this year, you know, he doesn't win the Art Ross, he's not going to win the Hart, and people are like, oh my God, maybe he's not that good. And, you know, he played with a banged up injury all year long, and he continues to raise the bar. Like, I never thought I'd see 40 points in a playoff game. In a playoffs year. Like, none of us did, right? Like, there's only been nine of them prior, and they were 35 points nine times, and that was Gretzky doing it four of them. So it's really stunning when you look at what he's done, you know, how he does it. And it's funny because let's say the Oilers lose game seven in overtime, guys. There's going to be people say, oh, he can't be top four because he doesn't win a cup. And I'm like, based on one game or one goal in overtime, like, that's foolish to me, right? Mm-hmm. So I think he's cemented himself in the conversation for sure, top five. I wrote it earlier this year that I thought he's going to become the second player ever to have 2,000 points. His career, unless he suffers a severe injury, which obviously you never wish on any player. He's a different animal, Nick. And I think for the longest time, there wasn't much of a conversation as to who the greatest player in the NHL ever was. And I think when McDavid's career is over, there's going to be a lot of people that are like, eh, you know what? Yeah. He's not going to have as many points as Gretzky, but he's probably going to be in the conversation.
Yeah, I was saying the game last night, just watching the flow of it, it was just a bunch of people standing around in his wake, almost being pulled behind him like a slipstream from a car or something. It was truly an unbelievable showing. So, you know, heading towards this game six, these starts have been so good for Edmonton the last couple of games. You get out, you get ahead, you make Florida chase. You know, is that the most essential piece to next game, is making Florida get on their heels a little bit? Maybe it is that brown line again that starts the game, but that's got to be a key piece for them.
Well, 100%. And, you know, if you look at it, in every game, there's been a first period goal early, except for game three when Reinhardt scored, I think, late with 1:02 left. But, you know, there's three times now the goal scored in the first 5 minutes of the period. Mm-hmm. And Edmonton's done it twice. And, you know, in the game they didn't, game one might have been their second best game outside of game four of the series. So, you know, Edmonton has started well. That helps them. I think most teams, when you look at the history of scoring first, it's a big advantage, guys. Yeah. And in the Stanley Cup final, the pressure mounts. And even though you try to tell yourself it's just another game, I don't think it's possible when you're in that moment to not recognize this is game six. And if we're Edmonton, we're like, oh, my God, we got to win. And I still think Florida does have what Tkachuk said afterwards. Like, hey, we still have two outs. You know what I mean? Like, the Oilers, they only got one. And I think that the first goal – is maybe more meaningful to Edmonton in Game 6 in Florida, right? Because Florida, if they get down 1-0, okay, fine. You know what? They still are like, we're in the game. It's only one goal. And B, worst case scenario, we go to Game 7.
Yeah.
Edmonton gets down, and you wonder if their desperation forces them to maybe take some chances that they wouldn't if they were leading or tied.
Well, get a good rest, my friend. You got tomorrow, and then we all kick it up on Friday. I can only imagine what the scene will be like. What's the scene on off day?
Well, you know, oh, geez, off days. Well, I think half the people are resting a hangover. So there's that for sure. I'd have asked this question to some of the, you know, the bosses out there. I'd wonder what's worse for production in the workplace: the day after a big game, or Friday leading up to it when the people are just looking for everything angle. Like, it's funny. Like, some fans get so stressed, guys. Like, they, it's mind-blowing to me, and I get it. Like, you're so invested. When you can't do anything, sometimes it's harder. Every player will tell you, when you're on the bench, it's much easier than watching the press box. It's not even close.
Yeah, they say the farther you get from the action, the harder it is. Yeah. Easier as a player, harder as a coach, worse as a GM, worst as a fan.
Yeah, so the fans, I think there'll be lots of people leaving work at noon on Friday, planning, well, you know, they want to get a seat, whether it's at the local watering hole or, you know what, the viewing party's outside. You know, it's obviously the last game in Edmonton, regardless win or lose. So it'll be a madhouse. And it would be the same way in every Canadian city, right? Like, when you're in a Canadian city and you're in a Stanley Cup final, man, it's different. It just is. And, like, no offense to some of the American cities, they're just, they don't have the same passion from every person on the street corner to everybody. Even if you're not a sports fan, you get sucked in a Stanley Cup final.
Gregor, are you going to be continuing to work after you sell your Game 6 season ticket that you just told us you have, or are you going to retire?
No, you know what's funny about that? True story. So my son is 10, and we told, and because the playoff, by the way, it's a joke what the prices are. You got to sell your tickets just so you can, you know, afford to go to the other games. And before the Cup started, my wife and I said, okay, you'll get to go to one game. Which game do you want to go to? And he's like, well, I want to go to Game 6 because that's when they can win. You know, he's a 10-year-old.
Ugh.
So they get down 3-0. He's obviously pissed.
Yeah.
And he's this is brutal. So last night he got so nervous watching the game, he went upstairs, and then he ends up watching the last 5 minutes. So I'm downstairs watching the game. When McDavid scored in the empty net, all I heard was him yelling and running around, I'm going to Game 6. I'm here like,
no.
So you know what? For a 10-year-old and for anybody, really, like, it could be a once in a lifetime because there's no guarantee you ever get back. So, you know, I work it. It's different. But to see him that excited, I think he reflects what a lot of fans are right now. And they'll be jazzed up going to that game. But I can tell you, I've seen prices online. My God, you're right. You could put your kid through college for 1 year if you want.
Like $5,000, $3,000, $4,000. What do you see?
Well, I saw some of the loge seats, a table of four loge for $15,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's sold.
Oh, that's good stuff. I love it.
Good stuff. Hey, Jason, love your stuff on our show. We really appreciate your time, man.
Hey, anytime, guys. Yeah. Pleasure's all mine. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you betcha.
Enjoy the games.
Thanks, Gregor.
It's Jason Gregor, Sports 1440 in Edmonton. Does a terrific job. We love having him on the show.
Yes, sir. Very good stuff.
$15,000.
Yeah,
that's a big ticket.
But, you know,
you're not even going to see the big silver cup.
This is what happens. What happens now is that you start grabbing people from, like, far, far away.
Non-fans.
They come in. It's, a lot of Americans will say, hey, let's go to the Stanley Cup Final in Edmonton. They'll make it. And they'll stroke a check that gets them an additional 37% on the American dollar. There's that outside element of.
I love Kip knew that percent. 37.23%. He's got a dial.
But who's counting?
Right?
That's if anyone has a line on NBA. A ticket to a potential Game 7, I know someone looking for him in Florida. They're hoping.
In the NBA, the finals, all international money that's driving that price up.
Yeah, you're driving the local fans.
I hear the Oilers are making it hand over fist right now.
I saw the ESPN numbers, the over 4 million last game, 4.1 or something. Like, the hockey is doing well here.
4.1 revenue?
No, million viewers last game. The attention on the finals.
I'm talking about cash, baby. What the Oilers are making per game.
A lot. A
couple of 97 sweaters.
Is off the charts.
Well, I mean,
Hey, It ain't small market.
No.
No. That game five win, I wonder what that made
oh, my God. Cates
alone. Like that one win.
A lot.
Getting to go home for a game six.
Eight figures.
I like Gregor's thought about McDavid getting to 2,000 points. Because when he first said it, I was a little bit taken aback by it. Mm-hmm. But he has 982 points in 645 games played in his career.
Yeah.
He's going to get to 1,400 points or 1,400 games, yeah. 1,500 games.
There you go. That's crazy. I'd never even thought of that or considered it a possibility. So mm-hmm. unbelievable. And 117 points in 72 playoff games.
Four points in back-to-back games in the cup final. Like, yeah, you know,
with
I asked Gregor,
team facing,
I was saying that's the best game I've seen. He's like, I've seen 97 do that. That's not the cup final back-to-back games. You haven't seen that before.
So we know what the analytics say about being down 3-0, but what you don't have in any of those series is a feel of Connor McDavid. Yeah. Like he's running the table mm-hmm. in Vegas. He's got hot dice right now.
Yeah.
And he could run it. He could run it right to game seven.
It just feels like if you're Florida, like you're carrying a stack of dishes down the stairs and they're starting to go like this. Like, you know, it's just like it's about to come down and he's just pulling it.
And what you said about McDavid, just him looking like he's getting stronger and everybody else, but you nailed it. It's almost summer solstice here. They've been playing hockey since October. Mm-hmm. We talk about how crazy conditioned he is. This is he's reaping the benefits of it right now.
This is the separation right now.
Exactly.
And I'm watching a guy like Bobrovsky who has been fantastic. We know that. Mm-hmm. But he may be now hitting something that he loses half a second, a quarter of a second in reaction time.
I mean, the Perry goal goes off the top of his pad if he's over that much more.
He looks a tad slower. Mm-hmm. Mm. 2 weeks ago, the first two games, Connor Brown isn't beating him forehand, backhand,
across
post to post.
You're right. Yeah. Remember what we said? You can't
not
beat him on a deke on the
doing
ice.
That.
Yeah.
And last it actually hit night, his skate blade and went in.
He was almost there.
Yeah, he almost got across.
The split second I'm talking about he's lost. I don't think he's clearly has his net like he did early. Mm-hmm. I mean, bad bounce off of Bouchard's goal, mm-hmm. right? Where
but the McDavid goal is
some hard luck. McDavid goal, come on, cannot give up that goal. That goal was the difference between possibly Florida winning the cup or losing the cup last night.
The leading goal or point getter in the NHL playoffs from not on Edmonton. So the leading goal scorer outside the Oilers is Tkachuk, 22 points. McDavid is ahead of him by 20.
Mm-hmm. So he's first two games, again, Florida's ability to close the gap on McDavid, and then we saw McDavid stick handling into traffic and losing the puck, and everybody's like, hey, he's trying too hard. Or he's just
trying to do too much.
Now, split second where that gap isn't there and McDavid exploits it. Mm-hmm.
The rest favors Florida here.
Big wall time. Battles. Okay. I saw a couple where Barkov, he was winning those battles. McDavid beat him on wall battles last night.
Yeah, he did.
The rest favors Florida.
So is that what's happening now? They've just now kind of hit a bit of a physical wall as much as maybe a mental one.
With Edmonton, like Holloway still doesn't get one out and one ends up in the net. And I think Broberg again got his
puck. With the 4-2 goal?
With all due respect, like everybody's focusing on Holloway on that goal. Go watch Bouchard. The guy was gone. And it's 3-0.
Well, Drysdale,
where are you
going? Pretty quick too there.
3-0. You don't need to go make it 4-0.
You're not wrong.
Everybody's saying Holloway's the goat on that particular goal that got Florida some energy.
Yeah.
But that's where Evan Bouchard still can kind of scare you a little bit. As great as he is, 100-point guy, $10 million.
That's why McDavid deserves all this praise, because the rest of the team was fine. I thought the last 40 minutes, Florida was far and away the better team.
They were.
But, you know, this McDavid thing is, I've just never seen anything like last night. I know Oilers fans have seen it, just not in this setting.
I have been exclusively doubting the Oilers since the start of the second round. I picked I picked Vancouver.
Social media has let us know that.
Yeah, I picked Vancouver. I've picked Dallas.
Yeah.
I picked the Cats.
You want to apologize now to Oilers fans?
Well, not quite yet, considering this is still a series.
That's fair.
But I'm done doubting. I really do. I do believe fully
They shouldn't love it. You don't want this if you're an Oilers fan.
Well, I do. I mean,
keep hating them.
No,
keep...
what McDavid is doing right now is amongst the greatest things I've ever seen in the history of sports. Right now, in these moments, he is putting a team on his back, and he deserves full respect. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's on track to be one of the best in the history of the game, and this is like a really amazing performance you have to appreciate. So, good on him.
Absolutely.
All right, quick break.
Yeah, let's get a break.
And then, we'll do game time. You'll come back with game time, plus a few news and notes. We'll maybe touch a little bit more on what's going on off the ice. Any more trades coming? What are you hearing?
Yeah. By the way, McDavid has more playoff points than PLD had in 80 regular season games.
Oh, God.
Just thought I'd throw that out there.
8.5 until
good note
2030.
On that. All right, more with Real Kipper and Bourne when we return.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kipper host, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. What would be a Real Kipper and Bourne show without a Kipper's Clipper?
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't done as many recently.
No,
we
have
not. Done game time.
Oh, we haven't done game time. Yeah. Is that a part of the show?
Something we should...
I guess I better figure
get to you first.
You're turning into a producer.
Listen, I'm just trying to get all the elements in here.
I fully would not have done it. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, I'm just going to quickly pull up what the odds have gone to Connor McDavid for the Conn Smythe. Because I'm feeling very stupid because I mentioned this to you when we did our show on Friday. Was it that we did the show? The other when you were
it was
almost
like plus 1,200 or something?
It was 13 to 1 to the Conn Smythe. So let's see what he's at now. I'll bet you it's less than that as I quickly pull it up here. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm struggling here.
All right.
But the line for the next game here, I'm looking at the Florida Panthers have now switched to underdogs. They're plus 105, and the Edmonton Oilers are now minus 125 favorites on home ice. I mean, that's definitely a shifting of the narrative. I think the Oilers have been underdogs in the last two. So going back home, you know, the actual favorites are now, you know, it's a shifting narrative. It's going back and forth.
I think Bobrovsky has to have a hell of a game.
Yeah.
To take the Conn Smythe now.
After giving up five, then four?
I think
Barkov's been no better. So.
I think he lost it.
Well, if they win next game 4-3, Barkov has done nothing to claim it. Maybe that's the recipe for a McDavid loser MVP.
He has to win Friday night. Bobrovsky has to win, and he has to influence the game for him to hold on to it.
Yeah. This is
I think he lost it last night.
It's McDavid.
This is remarkable how much it's switched. Connor McDavid is now minus 150 for the Conn Smythe.
What?
Barkov still the second favorite, plus 225, and Sergei Bobrovsky is at plus 550.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Plus 550.
If you can't give up. Bobrovsky like two rounds ago, where it was a lock
two
for a
days
month.
Ago. He was. Oh, two games. Yeah.
Two games ago, but you got shellacked. And
I don't
then
know if that's enough to negate his entire playoffs.
But that.
And we talked
McDavid's
about
goal last night.
The Perry goal?
Cannot.
Oh, and the McDavid shot, yeah.
Cannot go in.
Wow.
Just can't go in. That's the one that broke their back.
McDavid's going to win it, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's going to win
it. I think he's in that ballpark, win or lose.
Last two games have been him.
He's going to end up with it.
And I was quickly going to pull up the baseball game tonight. I know I shouldn't do the baseball stuff because it's a scary thing. But... And Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is going to get a couple hits tonight because he cut his hair.
He cut his hair?
How much?
Like, he cut it off.
No more dreads.
It's like, he's got like a fresh fade.
He looks great.
He actually looks 10 years younger. He looks awesome. I appreciate a good haircut. And I think he's going to get two hits tonight. So plus 210 for two hits for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. with the fresh new do.
All right.
That was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Maybe the Panthers need haircuts.
They should all shave their beards. Give up on the playoff beards.
All right. Let's go to Chris Knobloch because he's done a hell of a job as Jason Gregor spoke a little while earlier in our show. And let's get his thoughts on the belief right now for the Edmonton Oilers to come right back.
Yes, sir.
You know, I've been part of a lot of teams that have always said they had strong belief. And most of the time they don't. but with this group, they say they have strong belief. I truly believe that they do have that strong belief. The more situations you go through where you face adversity, it just sets you up for being able to handle it in the future.
This is a year the Oilers been through it.
Holy.
From the jump.
Were they 5-12?
Yeah, they got a strong chin, man. They have taken some absolute bombs.
Yeah, they really have.
And they keep fighting.
Yeah. I mean, the way their season's gone,
the three streaks off of losing three.
Mm-hmm.
Three major ones.
It would really be fitting for them to come back and win this for the way their season's been.
This would be some story.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, one for the ages.
Absolutely.
You'd have a Mark Spector book out in 2 weeks.
So there's a couple different clips from Paul Maurice talking about the pressure.
How's he doing? I have not heard from him too much.
Let's play the first clip. The first clip is from last night after the game. He was asked about the pressure here. So let's play Paul Maurice clip two first.
Paul, how do you know, obviously now the pressure ratchets up here. How do you keep the outside noise and you guys getting tight and sort of put this behind you without it really turning things here?
Yeah, absolutely nothing has changed for our situation in the last two games, except we learned some things. Some lessons we don't need to learn. We've learned them enough, but we keep getting taught those lessons. But nothing's changed for us. Not one thing.
Sure about that?
Just follow it up with, give me one lesson.
Yeah.
That's all I would have followed it up with. Which
would
lesson
one of them
is
be?
The
97 in blue?
The power
stay
play?
Stay in front of him.
Yeah. Hey,
the power play? Not giving up breakaways on a power play?
That's a good idea.
And would you
that
like...
That pass before the Brown goal was an atrocity.
Would you like to hear his tone this morning on a similar question?
Very much.
Okay, the second clip, please, Derek.
Yeah, you're going to think I'm lying to you. I'm more comfortable. I understand the feeling of 3-2. Because most series are like that. That's more, 3-0 is more of an aberration in it. Pressure. I think if you spend enough time, I think we think about these things possibly differently, right? And I'm not sure that I would agree with the assessment that the pressure has shifted so heavily to us. But I'm not going to try to work you to get it out in the media so I can possibly shift it over here. Right? We've had something that possibly to protect at 3-0, right? Protect the opportunity. We've earned this. Now we got to protect it. And they would have had nothing to protect in game four, nothing. So there's a little bit of a leveling out of what you feel like you have to protect.
What a clip.
That's
what would you
that's
know?
Very deep.
Pressure.
I think they think about it a little differently
my
than
brain
you
is,
common rubes out there.
My brain is in, he got me. I'm the rube. I don't know what the hell to think about that. Because he's like, I'm working the media, but during my talk about working the media,
yeah.
I'm going to put it in there and say that I'm not working them. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what the hell to think about this guy. I think he's petrified.
Edmonton's supposed to win game six, so there's a little bit to his point.
He's been around a long time. He's experienced a lot. I think deep down there's a thought of, I don't want to be the head coach that blows this.
Well, and buddy.
And that's a real feel.
This is the difference between his legacy being a guy who put in all the work and learned all the lessons before he made this great move to leave Winnipeg, get to the top of the mountain, Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, versus a guy who just never got it done. There is massive personal pressure
yes.
for Paul Maurice here.
Correct. No question. Correct. This is a legacy maker.
Yeah. And you can only do so much, like to the point yeah. of like you're not on the ice. You could just and his job but, is know, to keep everyone calm. There's no pressure.
And the players, they're not that far off from saying, I don't want this part of history on my in my bio
of
here.
Of
right.
Course.
And that's Barkov, that's Bobrovsky, Matthew Tkachuk, who was by far the best Florida Panther. Not even close last night.
It actually changed awesome. How okay. I feel about the series seeing him play like that, too. It's like, oh,
Can I also mention that for a split second, when I saw him save the empty net goal,
oh my God,
I envisioned Florida going back the other way and scoring. And then regarding that incident as one of the greatest moments in sport history.
Samuel, back me up on this. The Janmark play that goes off the post. A minute and a half to go in the game.
Still would have added that much to the story.
It felt like that was going to be the moment where it's like, God, they were one post away from
just for a split second. That saving dive and then the reach and where the puck was.
The weight was
one of the best things I've seen in terms of saving a goal.
You know what kills me, though? The U.S. media was all over that. Yeah. You see people who never talk about hockey sharing this Tkachuk clip, and it was like 1.9 seconds before McDavid shot it in their net.
Well, maybe put a body on 97 Ekman-Larsson instead of watching him shoot
in
his net.
Very strange play. Did he forget he was playing?
I think so.
If he would have just taken the post out.
Yeah.
Right?
He was right into the
netting. The way he went into the it didn't come off.
Yeah.
If it came off, then there would have been maybe one more grasp at going down there and saving that moment. But
yeah.
Ekman-Larsson, like, what are you, like going for popcorn?
That was absurd. Put a body on him.
God, Florida was humming in that game. Oh, like, you know, Skinner gets beat a few times there. Although the
now the feeling now is that Florida can't do anything right. And Edmonton's getting all the bounces now. They're all the puck luck is totally on the Oilers side. It's switched.
Yeah.
They couldn't get a break in the first couple of games.
Probably deserved to win.
And now they're getting all the breaks.
Yeah. I got a guy in my neighborhood, Ian, who wears his jersey, walking around our hood, and he wouldn't even say anything after the first period when I saw him. You know, Oilers are up, just like, Oilers are finally getting the breaks. We're not even discussing it. Just focus, man.
Friday night.
And that's going to be Oilers fans for the next 2 days. It's just
Friday night breaks.
Dare ahead, focus, keep the breaks going your way.
I think the it's Rogers Arena there, or Rogers Place. I don't know, one of them.
Yeah.
It's Rogers something. It's maybe the loudest arena in the history of hockey. Like, there's a potential
that
it's going
to
be the loudest a hockey arena has ever been.
Yeah.
If they get up early there, like, the roof's coming off.
So, JB, you've got two tickets. They're worth $10,000.
Yeah.
You go or you sell?
So, it depends if my 10-year-old son's involved. Because, I'm selling for sure.
Wow, no.
But
I go.
If I'm... if you're a media member, you're going to be there anyway, selling for sure.
Oh, but I mean, if I'm a fan, I think...
If I'm a fan who's got seasons, I'm going.
It's a different situation.
Yeah.
I'm either watching my team extend it, or I'm watching a team that's not mine win the Stanley Cup. So I think I'd probably go to the bar with that $10,000. I'd buy a few rounds. Yeah, I'd buy a few rounds.
Would it matter for you that you physically... cannot, unfortunately for Edmonton Oilers fans, they cannot see the cup being lifted.
Of course that matters. You might sell your tickets and buy tickets in Florida. Get a flight, get a hotel room, get a ticket down there for the chance to see your team. I bet you that money gets you that package.
Long flight, as we all know. Long flight.
The case is, if you've got a ticket, you're one of the lucky ones. All right, our thanks to Jason Gregor. Sports 1440 in Edmonton. Enjoy your night off. Enjoy one more tomorrow, and then we're right back at it Friday. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for joining us.